This is an independent project funded by no one else but our listeners. For subtitles, please visit our YouTube channel. Subscribe for free on YouTube to get us closer to monetization. For access to all the locked content, please consider becoming a paid subscriber for less than $3 per month on Spotify or support us on Patreon and Ko-fi. Details are in the descriptions. Thank you. Journey to the West, an audio drama series. Chapter 12, Part 1. It was the 13th year of the reign of Zhen Guan. On the third day of the ninth month, at a most auspicious time of day, Supreme Clergy, Reverend Chen Xuanzang, gathered 1,200 distinguished monks in Chang'an's Temple of Transformation and Birth, where they held lectures illustrating the brilliance of Buddhist scriptures. The emperor, having concluded his morning session, led his many civil and military officials out of the treasure hall of gold carriage. Riding on his imperial chariots, he came straight to the temple to light incense. It was a glorious day of sunshine as the emperor arrived with the talented ministers and mighty guards, followed by luxurious flags, umbrellas, and fans. This was an emperor who bathed in faith before paying respect to Buddha. As soon as the Tang Emperor arrived at the temple, the music was instructed to stop. And so the emperor came off the chariot and led his officials inside to pray to Buddha. After circling the statue of Buddha for 3 rounds, Taizong looked up and found this was indeed a spectacular monastery. Home of perfect golden statues of Buddhist deities, the place was filled with the fragrance of burnt incense. On scarlet trays were fruits of the season, and on decorated desks, you could find an unusual collection of sweets and cakes. Here, distinguished monks lined up to chant the true scriptures, hoping to pull lonely souls out from suffering. And so the visitors each lit an incense and paid their respect. Then, Supreme Clergy of the Empire, Reverend Chen Xuanzang, led the monks to greet the Tang Emperor. After all the formalities, they were assigned accordingly to their seats before the Reverend presented Taizong with the proclamation on the deliverance of orphaned souls. The proclamation read, "Ultimate virtue is vast and endless. This religion of Chan is founded upon Nirvana. Purity freely flows and reaches all 3 realms. Through countless transformations, it regulates yin and yang. This virtue is true and consistent, unbound and limitless. Look to those orphaned souls who deserve your compassion and sorrow. By the sacred order of Taizong, monks have been selected and gathered here to preach the law of our belief. Open wide the gate of acceptance and set in motion the boat of mercy. We are to deliver the masses from the sea of pain, from the paths of disease, to lead them back on the road of truth, and to study the chaos before all existence. Whether in motion or rest, one will be united with the state of calm cleanliness. It is owing to this noble cause that we invite you to witness the brilliance of the capital. And thanks to this grand occasion, you shall be freed from the confinement of hell. Ascend quickly to the ultimate bliss where you will be free. Travel eagerly to the West, where you will meet liberty." The proclamation was also summarized in a poem, which goes, "An urn with incense of longevity, a few scrolls leading to rebirth. As we proclaim this boundless law, now receive heaven's endless grace. When guilt and crime are abolished, lost souls may leave their prison. May our nation be firmly blessed with lasting peace and happiness for all." Taizong was full of delight as he finished reading. He then instructed the many monks, "Do hold on to your sincere intentions and do not slack in your service to Buddha. Once the merit is complete and all the blessings have gone to the right place, we will reward you handsomely and make sure your labors do not go unpaid." The 1,200 monks all kowtowed in gratitude. Once the meals were finished, the Tang Emperor's chariot made its way back. And in 7 days, he would be invited again for incense burning. It was getting very late, and the officials too made their return. The next morning, the reverend would rise to his seat again and lead the crowd in chanting. We will speak no more of that. We instead return to Guan Shiyin Bodhisattva from Mount Podalak of the South Sea. Since receiving Buddha's order, she has been searching for a virtuous person in Chang'an to be tasked with seeking the scriptures. Days have gone by and she has yet found an individual of true virtue. But then, she heard that in order to preach the fruit of merit, Taizong would be selecting distinguished monks for a grand ceremony. She also learned that the reverend serving as master of altar would be a monk by the name of Jiang Liu. He was a student of Buddha fallen from the ultimate bliss, a reverend she personally delivered to rebirth. Bodhisattva was overjoyed. So, along with Mu Cha, she brought the treasures Buddha gifted her to the streets to sell them. What treasures were those, you ask? It was the unique brocade gasha, 9-ringed staff, and 3 tightening bands named Golden, Tightening, and Forbidden, respectively. She had them safely put away for later use. Now she would only bring the gashaya and staff out for sale. In the city of Chang'an, there was one unscrupulous monk who failed to be selected but has some dirty money to spare. He saw Bodhisattva in the form of a scabby monk dressed in rags, barefooted and bald. Once the gashaya was presented, it glowed. So he went up to ask, "Scabby monk, how much does this gashaya of yours sell for?" Bodhisattva answered, "This gashaya is worth 5,000 taels of silver and the staff 2,000. The foolish monk laughed and said, "These two scabby monks are crazy. They are fools. These two shabby items selling for 7,000 taels of silver? Even if you could live forever or become a Buddha by wearing it, it still wouldn't worth this much. Take them away, you aren't selling them to me." Bodhisattva did not engage with him and walked forward with Mu Cha. After walking some more, they have arrived at Donghua Men, Gate of East Brilliance. It happened that the minister Xiao Yu was on his way home from court, and his guards were shouting to clear the streets. Bodhisattva boldly refused to step aside. Instead, she held up the gashaya in the middle of the street and came straight toward the minister. The minister reined in his horse to have a look. That gashaya, indeed, was glowing. He instructed his servants to ask the gashaya seller how much it would cost. Bodhisattva answered, "The gashaya costs 5,000 taels of silver and the staff 2,000. Xiao Yu asked, "What is so good about them that they are worth such an enormous price?" Bodhisattva then said, "The gashaya offers good things as well as things not so good. It may cost money, and it may not." Xiao Yu asked, "What counts as good, and what counts as not so good?" Bodhisattva then said, "Wear my gashaya, you will not enter perdition. You will not fall into hell. You will not suffer from toxic ordeals. You will not encounter beasts. That is what is good about it. Should you be an unscrupulous monk who relishes in pleasure and rejoices in disaster, or a religious man who lives by no vegetarian diet or commandment, or a layman who vilifies the Sutra and Buddha, it would be hard for you to get a glimpse of my gashaya. That is what is not so good about it." Xiao Yu then asked, "What do you mean by it may cost money or it may not?" Bodhisattva answered, "If you do not follow the law of Buddha or respect the 3 treasures, which are Buddha, the law, and the monk, and wanted to forcibly purchase the gashaya and staff, I would certainly sell them for 7,000 taels of silver. This is what I meant by it costing money. If you respect the three treasures, find pleasure in virtue, and convert to Buddhism, you will be worthy, and I would willingly gift the Garshaya and staff to you in order to establish a bond of merit. This is what I meant by it not costing money." Xiao Yu heard the monk's words and became delighted, knowing they were good people. He got off the horse and greeted Bodhisattva with respect, saying, "Venerable Reverend, please forgive Xiao Yu for his sins. Our Emperor of Tang is very keen on doing good, and every official on the court is following his way. Today happens to be the Grand Mass of Land and Water. This Garshaya would be the perfect garment for the Supreme Clergy Reverend Chen Xuanzang. I shall bring you to court and have an audience with the throne." Bodhisattva happily agreed. They turned around and went straight back into the Gate of East Brilliance. Huang Men Guan, or Custodian of the Yellow Gate, meaning eunuchs who served as gatekeepers in the palace, deliver their message inside. And before long, they were summoned by an edict into the treasure hall. The Tang Emperor saw that Xiao Yu brought with him two scabby monks standing below the steps. So he asked, "What are you here for, Xiao Yu?" Xiao Yu prostrated under the steps and answered, "Your subject was just out at the Gate of East Brilliance when I came across two monks selling a Garshaya and a staff. I figured that Reverend Xuanzang could wear this Garshaya, so I brought the monks before you." Taizong was delighted to see them and asked how much the Garshaya would cost. Bodhisattva and Mucha stood under the steps without any gesture of courtesy. When being asked about the price of the Garshaya, they answered, "The Garshaya is worth 5,000 taels of silver, and for the staff, 2,000. Taizong asked, "What is so good about the Garshaya that it is worth so much?" Bodhisattva answered, "This Garshaya, a single thread could save you from catastrophe and grant you miracles of the supernatural. Whether you rest or move, gods and Buddha will follow you around. This Garshaya is made from strings pulled from ice silkworms and spun by the most skilled craftsmen. Immortal maidens weaved it into form on the sewing looms of goddesses. Decorated with floral patterns, it beams gloriously. Once you put it on, it is as if you are surrounded by red mist. When you take it off, it's as if a strip of colorful cloud has taken flight. On its four corners are luminous pearls, and on the top fastened is an emerald. This Garshaya is folded when it's not needed. You only wear it when you meet a sage. It is adorned by every pearl you can name and every color you can imagine. It expands a divine aura and emits auspicious light into the surroundings. Ever since this Garshaya was made, what calamity in this world could possibly hurt a monk?" The Tang Emperor took in the monk's words as he sat in the treasure hall and was overjoyed. He then asked, "So, monk, what is so good about this nine-ringed staff?" Bodhisattva answered, "This staff, the nine rings are forged with copper and iron. A divine nine-sectioned vine has immortalized its form. It will lighten your steps despite having gone through epic adventures with gods in the past. Untainted by the tiniest bit of mortal dust, this staff will happily accompany the immortal monk up the Jade Mountain." The Tang Emperor heard their words and immediately asked them to unfold the Garshaya. He observed it in great detail and realized it was indeed a fine item. So he said, "Venerable Elder of the Great Law, to be very honest with you, we have been educating the people on the merit and planting seeds of blessing far and wide. We have gathered many monks in the Temple of Transformation and Birth to preach scriptures. Among them is a man of great virtue whose religious name is Xuanzang. We would like to purchase these two treasures from you and gift them to him. How much would you ask for?" Upon hearing the question, Bodhisattva and Mucha folded their palms, praised Buddha, then bowed to say, "Since he is virtuous, this humble cleric would be happy to gift the items to him for free. We will not ask for any money. And then they turn around to leave. The Tang Emperor hurriedly ordered Xiao Yu to stop them. Leaning forward, he stood in the hall and asked, You just said the Geshire was worth 5,000 taels of silver and the staff 2,000. Seeing that we are interested in buying them, you now refuse to accept any money. Are you implying that we are forcing you to give up the items by abusing the power of the throne? That just won't do. We shall pay you for the price you suggested. You shouldn't refuse. Bodhisattva raised a hand and said, This humble cleric has promised that should it be someone who respects the three treasures, finds pleasure in virtue, and has converted to Buddhism, I would not ask for any money and would happily give the items away. Now I have seen that your majesty is just and good, with deep respect for our religion. Moreover, there is a distinguished monk who has the right virtues and acts, as he preaches the great law. I have every reason to give away these treasures for free. I shall take no money. This humble cleric will leave these items here and excuse myself. The Tang Emperor was glad to see that the monk was so sincere. So he arranged for Guanglu Si, which referred to the imperial kitchen, to prepare a grand vegetarian banquet to thank the monks. Bodhisattva firmly declined the invitation before leaving in airy steps. She again returned to the temple of the tutelary of soil where she stayed in hiding. We will speak no more of that. We instead speak of Taizong, who was at Noon Court when he ordered Wei Zheng to bring an imperial edict to summon Xuanzang into the palace. The reverend was on the altar with the crowd, chanting scriptures. The moment he learned of an imperial edict, he quickly came down to tidy his clothes before leaving with Wei Zheng to meet the throne. Taizong said to him, We owe a great deal to the reverend and haven't yet given you anything in return. Earlier, Xiao Yu came across two monks who would be happy to give away a brocade geshire and a nine-ringed staff. In order to complete the merit, we have specially summoned the reverend here to receive the items. Xuanzang kowtowed to thank the emperor for the favor. Taizong then said, If it isn't too much to ask, reverend, please put it on for us to see. The reverend therefore shook open the geshire and put it on. With the staff in hand, he stood before the steps. The emperor and his ministers were all filled with delight. He was truly a student of Buddha. Look at him. Noble and elegant were his features, dressed as if the apparel were tailor-made. With sparkles enough to light up the skies, the garment breathed colors of the universe. Lined with pearls and sewn with golden threads, it captured every pattern you can imagine. Reverend Xuanzang was truly destined and deservedly so to receive this item. Truly a student of Buddha, without a doubt. And so all the officials cheered in front of the steps as Taizong rejoiced. They had the reverend keep the geshire on while holding the treasure staff. Then they assigned two lines of guards and ordered the officials to accompany Xuanzang out of the palace. He would then go on the main street, all the way back to the temple. It would be like when someone has become the new Zhuangyuan. Xuanzang thanked the throne for the arrangements. And so he went on the streets and caused quite a scene. Look at the people of Chang'an. All the merchants, businessmen, nobility and scholars, as well as residents regardless of gender or age, all came out to praise him, saying, What a reverend! He's truly a living Buddhist deity coming down to the mortal world. Once Xuanzang made his way back to the temple, the other monks all came out to welcome him. Seeing him in the geshire while holding the staff, they thought Shidigaba had arrived. Later, they returned to their positions of service as Xuanzang went up the hall to light an incense for Buddha. He then detailed the imperial favor he received before dismissing the crowd. Without realizing, the sun has set in the west. Journey to the West, an audio drama series, is an independent production by the Fifth Monkey. For subtitles, please visit our YouTube channel. Subscribe for free on YouTube to get us closer to monetization. For access to all the locked content, please consider becoming a paid subscriber for less than $3 per month on Spotify or support us on Patreon and Ko-fi. You will have a chance to access the latest release and other exclusive content. Head to www.thefifthmonkey.com for links to all the platforms we're on and support us on social media. Shares, comments, emails, all are welcome. This is Lin. See you in the next episode.